Good Thursday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. Officials say that the Republican-controlled House is set to vote today on a standalone bill to give the president fast-track trade authority as the administration seeks an effort to complete a 12-nation trade deal with Pacific Rim countries. In addition, House Speaker John Boehner and Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell say that they will pledge that the Republican-controlled Congress will also pass legislation in a timely manner, providing continued aid to workers who lose their jobs because of imports, a key demand of Democrats. By separating the two portions of the legislation into new bills, the GOP leadership and the White House are counting on strong Republican support to approve the trade negotiating authority. The Labor Department today says that consumer prices increased in May by the largest amount in more than 2 years. The consumer price index rose 0.4% in May. The increase was driven by a 10.4% increase in the cost of gasoline, which has started climbing after nearly a year of falling energy prices. Core inflation, which excludes food and energy, was up a modest 0.1% in May. This morning, USDA reported export sales for the week ending June the 11th. The numbers look like this. In millions of bushels, wheat this year, 11.6. Corn this year, 24.7. Next year, 7.9. Soybeans this year, 4.9. And next year, 19.5. The Dow Jones Industrial Average trading 17,952, up 126 points. The NASDAQ 4489, up 35. The S&P 500 is 2100, up just over 11 points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is World Weather Incorporated meteorologist Drew Lerner. Good morning, Drew.
Good morning, and it looks like we do have relatively good weather across the Midwest today, but I'm not quite sure how good it's going to last as we go forward through the next 2 days. Of course, we do have tropical storms, Bill's remnants that are still working their way in our direction, at least into southern parts of the Midwest. The storm has produced locally 6 to 12 inches of rainfall in the last 24 hours in southeastern sections of Oklahoma and north central Texas, according to Doppler radar. Surface amounts haven't been quite that great, but we don't get a good density of coverage on that storm system for right now, so probably have to compromise between what the Doppler radar says and what the surface observations have been, which are running from mostly 1 to 5 inches. Anyway, the remnants of the system will move through southern Missouri, northwestern Arkansas, and into the Ohio River Valley as we move forward Friday into Saturday. Rain totals across these areas will run from 1 to 3 inches. Some local totals upwards to 4 inches will be possible. The storm system, though, is gradually whittling itself down, and we're not going to see it nearly as impressive in the Midwest as it has been in Oklahoma and Texas the past couple of days. And we'll expect to see some improving tendency for the weather across that region next week. But we do have a cool air mass that will be dropping through the Midwest as we go through the late weekend and early part of next week. And that will likely result in a fairly good chance for additional showers and some thunderstorms to occur across parts of the region. And as a result of that, we'll most likely end up with a fair chance for additional precipitation. And amounts will probably run anywhere from a tenth of an inch upwards to 5 or 6 tenths of an inch, which may not seem like much, and it really isn't, but on top of the rain from the tropical system, that's certainly going to be unwelcome moisture. The storm is taking a little more of a southerly track today versus that of recent past days, and because of that, we will see a larger portion of the western corn belt doing better with drying conditions, so some of those soybean acres that haven't been planted will have an opportunity to get planted in a little bit better scenario. In general, we're looking for day temperatures to continue to work their way higher next week, but we will see a seasonable range of temperatures here for the next few days. Highs will run primarily in the range of upper 70s and 80s across a big part of the region for the next 2 or 3 days, and even cooler readings will occur underneath that tropical moisture for a little while. Temperatures will rebound next week with drier air coming into the region for a few days. During the middle part of the week, we'll see temperatures in the 80s and perhaps even some lower 90s taking place, and that will become fairly widespread across a larger portion of the region. It also looks as though the majority of the hard red winter wheat country will see improving conditions over the coming week, with much less precipitation occurring from Kansas into the Texas Panhandle. Those areas will see little to no precipitation and eventually seeing temperatures well into the 90s, coming up close to 100 degrees. That heat will be the byproduct of a little weak ridge building that's expected to take place, and that ridginess will also be responsible for bringing a little bit of that warmth into our region. A scattering of showers and thunderstorms will occur in the majority of next week across parts of the Midwest, but it will be intermixed favorably with the sunshine and warm weather. So it should be an aggressive week of crop development for most of the corn and soybeans that are already in the ground and favorably established. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, lending support to generations of farm families. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit Illinois offers financial products and services geared specifically to the agricultural community.
Let's see how futures are currently trading. Hard red winter July wheat is 510 up 4.5. Soft July 495 3/4 up 4.5. July corn, 359 1/4 unchanged. December, 375 unchanged. July beans, 968 down 1. September, 939 1/4 down 2.5. November, 936 3/4 down 3. July soybean meal, 323, now 2290 down 80. July soybean oils, 3255 down 30. June live cattle, 151, 12.5, down 82.5. August feeders, 224, 02.5, down 70. July lean hogs, 78, 22.5, up 22.5. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Ellen Dearden of AgriView, and she is in Morton, Illinois. Good morning, Ellen.
Good morning to you, Dave.
Hook key reversal for a weekly on its way in the soybean market.
Yeah, it is. We need to see these November beans take out yesterday's high, which I believe was 942 3/4. 944, a lot of resistance there too, but we're going to have a good upside week, even if we hold slightly lower here for the day and steady tomorrow. I mean, it'll look like pretty impressive deal. We've seen a lot of fun short covering, and that's probably been the main feature. I think yesterday funds bought about 9,000 contracts, so they're still short 60,000 beans or so, but got a good-looking technical chart today.
Might we make a pretty significant drop in U.S. ending stocks the next time we see a number?
Yeah, and there's talk about that on the corn side as well. You know, how low is low right now? Nobody knows what the acreage is. Nobody knows what the yield is. So all that's just kind of a crapshoot. But certainly we've seen commercials come in and support this market on dips on the old crop and beginning to do the same thing on the new.
And with soybean exports at 19.5 in new crop, that program's beginning to ramp up.
Yeah, it is, and I think a lot of that's being switched out of the old crop buys and into the new crop buys. And a lot of these Asian buyers in particular want to make sure that they've got things covered for the winter.
And weather is a key feature to talk about, too, as Bill continues to work its way norther.
Yeah, it does. Looking at the central part of Texas and Oklahoma getting 6 inches of rain yesterday, really detrimental on this wheat crop, which probably has contributed to the nickel gains we're seeing here this morning. But that system is going to move into the Ohio Valley and keep a lot of these wet areas wetter yet.
Is it too early to talk about losses from prevented planting and also nitrogen leaching?
I don't think on the nitrogen leaching it's too early at all. The prevent plant, I think, is still up for grabs, and certainly with the soybeans rallying this week, there's greater incentive to try to go in and not have prevent plant on the bean side. We're right up against the insurance dates where as you start losing 1% per day that doesn't get planted beyond the 20th in this particular area of June.
Briefly on the livestock side, and we do have a cattle on feed report on Friday.
Yeah, we do have a cattle on feed report Friday. I thought the hog upside yesterday was probably spread unwinding. They were getting out of long cattle, short hog spreads, and we'll probably see some continuation of that again today. The cattle market has turned into a great speculative market, particularly on the feeder cattle side. So it's from 11 o'clock on, we establish the ranges. I'm not particularly worried that the August feeders are down this morning.
Thank you, Ellen. Ellen Dearden of AgriView, and she is in Morton, Illinois. December corn is 375 and a quarter, up a quarter, and November beans, 936 and a quarter, down 3.5. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It is now 9:01 Central Time.